Praise the Lord. Well, I hope you enjoyed the song service because it was directed by God and we needed to hear every one of those songs. We need to be reminded of those things. Amen. And what if, you know, too many people are going around with their heads stuck in the sand saying, well, that's doubt and unbelief. No, you know, sometimes we're down and it's hard to get up. You know, the devil's throwing everything at us that he can throw at us. And I'm sorry, I'm glad you're Jesus. You know, and that you can just go on and never once have any problems. You know, if you're going to stick your head in the sand now, you're never going to make it. Because if you think it's bad now, it's not going to get any better. I was looking back through some of the things that God told us back in, it was 2000, something in early 2000s. And everything he was saying then is happening right now. I mean, I said, God, this can apply to right now, where we're at right now. You know, there's nothing new under the sun, according to the Bible, right? And things don't get better. They usually get worse before they get better. But God is encouraging us that he is going to save America. But before he does, there's a whole lot of devastation going to happen. And, you know, that is not speaking negative. That's speaking the truth. And if you know the truth, it's going to set you free. So you'll be prepared for whatever comes down the road. Period. Too many pastors are trying to, you know, butter things over, and is the people are going to be devastated whenever things happen, and they won't know how to act whenever it does happen, because after all, my pastor said, well, you need to see what the pastor, Jesus Christ, said in his word, and he said we were going to suffer, great tribulation was going to come across the land. God's saying this because, you know, the body of Christ, he's told me over and over again, is not ready for what is coming down the road. They're just not ready. Excuse me. You can say whatever you want to say, but you need to start getting on your face before the Father and hearing his voice for yourself, because you never know if you're going to be shut off in a corner somewhere and won't be able to reach a prophet or your pastor or your wife or your husband. You know, we don't know what's coming down the road, but you need to know, have surety of heart, is you're going to hear the Father. You know his voice, and only his sheep know his voice and follow him. You need to know you can hear the Father for yourself and then have him direct you in what he wants you to do. Amen. Sometimes I'm totally amazed when I read what some of the pastors are writing, you know, on the Elijah list and everything. I just can't believe what they say. And people believe those people. They stand by those people. But you need to know your word. The words is what sets you free, right? Father, I just thank you tonight, and I give you all praise, honor, and glory for all things, good, bad, and indifferent. And for God, Father God, the people that are sitting here this evening, I looked, and they believe the same thing, and they praise you the same way. And Father God, tonight, I believe that you're going to give us another little nugget that will help us through the trying days ahead. We thank you for your son, Jesus, who died on the cross. But the greatest thing he ever did was rose again. And he's seated at your right hand, ever interceding for each one of us. And Father God, I want to repent for the body of Christ tonight that we question you too much. We should take our problems to you, hear what you have to say, and then stand on your word. But we continually question, and we need to stop that. And Father, right now I'm asking the Holy Spirit, your Holy Spirit, come in this room in such a fantastic way. And Father God, just drop down upon us tonight and let us receive the truth of what you're telling us. And Father, I thank you for it. In the mighty name of Jesus, amen. You know, I could feel that some of you didn't receive that song service tonight, and I feel sorry for you because it was directed by God, and I even tried to change it, but he wouldn't let me do that. So I just go with the flow, and as I listen to each one of the songs and the words, it's everything we need to hear. absolutely everything we need to hear. See, you need to be moved by the Spirit where you'll feel everything that's going on around about you. Everything. Can you do that? You even feel people's hearts when they're not even anywhere near you. You know, you're sitting at home or whatever, and all of a sudden a person's name comes to you. Next thing you know, you have a phone call or an email from that person. That's the way we need to be. You know, like, you know, God put this person upon my heart a couple of days ago, and lo and behold, and then I had a dream about him, and lo and behold, we got a phone call about these people. Because, you know, I have learned, and I want you to learn, that whenever a person's name comes to you, you are going to either hear about them or they're going to contact you. You need to understand that. And when you hear that name, I always say, God, you know, do you want me to contact them? He'll tell me to pray, or he said, no, you're going to hear from them. And just like that, I hear from them. This is how close we need to be walking to God. Because who knows, you know, God puts somebody's name on your heart, and then he says, pray, and you could save their life. Because he told you, he's telling other people too, but he's told you, gave you that person's name, and then he says, pray, and then start praying. How many of you is God able to wake you up at all hours of the night and say, you need to start praying right now for this one or that one? You know, do you get awake, and do you stay awake, and do you pray? That's the big question. Or do you say, oh, God, I'll do it in the morning, and you're all over because you don't want to get awake, because once you get awake, then you can't go back to sleep, right? But we have to move when God tells us to move. And guys, I'm hearing this from God right now. It's very imperative that you learn to do this, because you are going to save nations by hearing God's voice and obeying it. Do you understand that God is saying, do you understand it's no longer you that liveth, but it's Christ who lives in you? And you have Jesus in you, so you have all power and authority in you. And, you know, I feel it's a privilege for God to wake me up, or even to give me a person's name, because that means he can trust me. So if he's not giving you a person's name, then can he trust you? Will you pray, you know? Will you get up middle night, walk the floor, and intercede? God knows who you are, and he knows exactly what he can expect out of you, or get out of you. And so think about it. How often does God interrupt your day or your night? Now, if you're a night person, don't get excited about that. So then I say, how often does he interrupt your day? Because a lot of people are night people. In my household, my two boys and I don't get to bed till 4 o'clock in the morning because they think they're night people. But then I'm up during the day too. You know, so let's be honest. God can talk to me anytime he wants to at night. Yeah, because I'm at my computer, I'm doing this or I'm doing that, and I don't have to get out of bed. All right. It's imperative that you understand this. Very imperative. And if God puts something on your heart heavy, then he wants you to do it. Don't question him, just do it. And if he tells you to do it, he'll make a way for you to do it. All right? God does not put anything on you that he won't help you with. I want you to understand that. And I don't care how many times you say, I'm not going to do it. I'm just not going to do that. I am not going to do that. Then here comes God. And says, this is what I want you to do. And so what do you have to do? You have to do that. So I'm trying not to say I'm not going to do that. How many of you know that every time you say that, you do that? God comes and makes you do that. So, you know, that what he's saying is who's control of your life anyhow? Am I in control of your life, or are you in control of your own life? Are you understanding this? Come on. You say, here I am, Lord. I'm just all yours. You talk to me anytime you want to. You do anything you want to with me. But then you say, I'm not going to do that. You tell somebody else that. You don't tell God that. All right, so I was walking down my hallway 3-4 months ago, and I said, I am just not going to do them. And God said, you're going to eat your words. 2 days later, I ate my words. Boy, that was hard words to eat, too. All right? And then also I said over and over and over again for a year, they are not coming into my house. Guess who's in my house? They. So I'm really trying not to say I'm not going to do something. Who controls you? You or God? But God doesn't control you. He just likes to lead, guide, and direct you, all right? Control was a wrong word because he doesn't control us. Now, I don't know who needs to hear this, but did you get it? We'll move on to the sermon if you got it. Amen. All right, God wants to teach on passing over. And, you know, we know, the Lighthouse Church knows that we passed over. We crossed over Jordan, right? And but we also now we have to keep moving. We cannot stop. There's a work now since we've crossed over Jordan, there's a work that we have to do. And if we're just going to say, I crossed over Jordan, I obeyed, I'm good. No, you're not. You just started your journey. All right. Now, God said, during this Passover season, you have been passing over into the newness of life that lies before you in an unprecedented way. Now, looked up unprecedented, it says never done or known before. And what did God tell us? We have crossed over into something we've never done before. Totally new. Totally new. The emphasis has been on shaping bold solutions to save lives and livelihoods in these unprecedented times. God has been trying to make us so bold that we're not going to back down from nothing. You need to be around my little grandson, Isaiah, because that child gets himself in so much trouble. He's so bold, he just keeps talking. He has said the last word. And I said, that's what gets you in trouble. He said, what? I just told you the truth. Kids don't understand there's a time to shut up, right? But he's bold. He said, I didn't do anything wrong. I just told you the truth. But the fact was he was trying to out-talk me. How many of us try to out-talk God? But God, all right, God said, the army of the Lord has been given their marching orders, and they will march onward and upward, defeating the darkness as they go. Now, you know that God's been given these messages for this church. I don't teach down the road for this church. So he said, the army of the Lord has been given their marching orders and they will march onward and upward, defeating the darkness as they go. Now, do you believe that? Yes. Do you really believe that? You know, you're going to keep moving forward and you're going to march onward and upward. And you're going to defeat the darkness. You know, the devil is not going to quit harassing you. He just is not. He's going to keep coming at you and coming at you and coming at you. Isn't that what he did with Jesus? He didn't quit just because the first time Jesus said, it is written. He did not stop there. He just kept on going until he knew, well, he's not going to give in, so I'm going to go to somebody else. That's what he does with you and I. He just keeps harassing and harassing and harassing, hoping that somewhere we'll give in. And that's why a lot of people have fallen away from God. They could not stand the pressure of what the enemy was doing to them, so they just quit, gave in to him. All right? God said, I have given you a promise that a new thing we will be doing. And a brand new thing it is. The enemy is cowering right now, for he knows he is defeated. Now, do you see what God said? The enemy is cowering right now because he knows he is defeated. But you don't know that. So you're boo-hooing and carrying on. And God, don't you hear me? God, don't you see God? And see, but the enemy knows he's already defeated. He knows he can keep harassing you, and he knows he's not going to win unless you truly lay down your sword. So quit. Quit laying down your sword and keep moving forward. I don't care if somebody, if God asks you to do something, somebody says, well, that's stupid. That's never going to get you anywhere. They didn't tell you to do that. God did. And if God tells you to, if God really tells you to do it, then it's something's going to come of it. And it might look stupid to other people, but you know that you know that you've heard God's voice and that God is taking care of it. He asked you to do it, so he's taking care of it. All right? Then God said, church, you must understand that we can no longer sit idly by and watch the destruction of America. America is still the land of the free and the home of the brave, and the enemy is doing everything in his power to declare not so. God said, we can no longer stand idly by and watch this destruction. We have praying to do. We have fasting to do. And we have whatever else God's telling us to do, we have to do. And God showed me where America is going to be split in half. Some states are going to totally disappear. But still, he says, I have my hand on America. And if people look at this, they'll say, God can't have his hand on America because look what just happened. And God told me one time, multitudes of people are going to die when all this is going on. But he said, I do have my hand upon America. Now, who are you going to believe? Don't believe me. Go to God. Ask God. I'm just telling you what God's told me. Are you listening here? And, you know, I read maybe a year ago where some pastor said, prophet said, that when we talk like that, we don't know what we're saying because God is not going to hurt America in any way. Well, that's not true. It's not true. God even told me about Russia and China going to war against us years ago, and he says it's going to come onto American soil. And if you tell that today, you know, prophets are saying that's not going to happen. Well, you know, I just say, we'll just see what happens. If I'm wrong, I'm wrong. You're right, you're right. But I know what I heard, and I know I hear my Father's voice, and I'm just going to sit back and just see what God's doing. I'm not gloating about nothing. But you're not going to make me start questioning myself of what I've heard either. Okay, I've lost my place. All right. God said, if not you, who can I send to unravel this giant web of deception? If not you, who can I send that will tell the truth? There's a song out like that. If not me, isn't there a song out like that? So God said, now listen, each one of you listen. If not you, Brother Neil, who can I send to unravel this giant web of deception? If not you, Brother Brett, who can I send that will tell the truth? You know, people don't want to hear the truth. They really, truly, I have found out, is all the years I've evangelized and everything else, the church does not want to hear the truth. They want to stay in their state of deception, and they just want to do the thing that they do, and don't you try to tell them any different. It's worse today than it was when I first started. When I first started, God told me we were in the days of Noah. And really and truly, that's been, 40 years ago now? Look at around about you. We are in the days of Noah. And I said one day, I said, you know, if we were in the days of Noah back in 1977, how much worse is it today? You know, all the deception that's going on, all the sin, all the in the house of God. God said, children, you must understand that there is a multitude of reasons why you must suit up and go forth now. The body of Christ is not ready for what is coming upon the land, but the forerunner churches have been on the backside of the desert training for such a time as this. What God is saying here is, all right, let's just say the lighthouse. No, everybody, you know, they think we're a joke, okay? But we've been in training. All right, you as an individual, you might have been going around trying to help other pastors or, you know, doing what you know to do, and people are sort of laughing at you and say, look at them, look at their amount to nothing. You're getting ready to be exalted, and people are going to start knowing your name. Are you listening? And some of you individuals in here who have gone up into the third heaven and going where God is going, people are going to, who used to talk about you and put you down, people are going to start saying, wow. They really do stand in the presence of the Almighty God. I'm going to tell you something that God told me during praise and worship. He says, you know, some of you have climbed that ladder and got where God wants you to go, but you're not really any good to God because you don't have any joy. You know, if you're really spiritual and climbing high with God, you still have to have joy. And, you know, you can't walk around like... I know Jeremiah was a weeping prophet, but still he had joy. You know, and I know many times, you do too, you weep over what God's doing, but you still have joy. My goodness. You know, if you can't have joy all the time, then there's a problem with you. God didn't tell you to be a sour face. He did not. You know, and I know God has taken me really deep. And just like today, I said, God, I raised the dead, but I'm getting sicker, okay? But I'm still having my joy. What I'm getting at is how deep I was. I still am that deep. But the enemy's trying to make me stop, but I'm not going to stop. And I can laugh. Can I laugh and carry on? Sure, I can. You know? I say that because he comes and helps me spread mulch, and he sees me laugh. All right? I don't have to walk around like I'm this great big, woo, Christian. I'm still human. It doesn't matter how much power and authority that God's using. I'm still human. Jesus laughed. I used to think he didn't laugh. You know that story. I wouldn't let anybody laugh in church. And that picture of Jesus laughed, and I thought, oh, how could you make a picture like that? And God said, do you think we don't laugh? He said, we have a good time in heaven. Why are you so sourpussed? And then that's whenever I started lightening up. Just because I was all that then some in Christ, you know, that didn't make me a person who couldn't smile or laugh. And Isaiah said the other day, he said, Mama, why are you so unhappy? You never laugh. And I had to stop and think, but I don't know why I'm doing that. It's probably because of pain. But anyhow, see, he put me in remembrance of that. Mama, you don't laugh. You don't really enjoy yourself. And God wants me to enjoy myself, sick or not. He wants us to enjoy ourselves. In a high position or not, he wants us to enjoy ourselves. Jesus did, didn't he? Read what he did. He went into bars and drank with the worst of them. You know, he had a good time. And by having a good time with the people, he won them to Christ. You know why you don't win people to Christ? Because you're too serious about your walk with God. And by that, I mean you walk around. You know, you can't do that. I know, I used to do that. Because I thought I had to be. Till God taught me differently. All right. Well, I got off on a tangent, didn't I? Where am I at here? All right, God said, you little ones are the remnant ones that I have prepared to tear. You guys, don't shake your head at me, Aaron. God said, you little ones are the remnant ones that I have prepared to tear down the darkness while bringing in the lost. See, you're going to tear down the darkness and still bring in the lost at the same time. Bringing in the lost, dying, and weary souls that the darkness has raped over and over again. You know, we're going to be doing great mighty works for God while we're bringing in the lost. Aren't you tired of just sitting here, just us? Aren't you tired of going out there in the street and seeing all these lost people that nobody's reached? People are trying, but they haven't reached them. There's a difference. Do you not have what it takes to reach them? Think about that. Why are we not bringing more into the house of God? I got to think the other day when I was young, I was always in church, and I was in the country at one point, and I had to walk to church. And as I went, I'd see kids out in the yard. I'd say, come on, go to church with me. Go tell your parents you're going to church. And they, his parents said, go ahead and go. You know, then you did it where you like to do that. And I'd bring a whole bunch of kids to church with me. I was going to a Baptist church out in the country. And one day they called me into the office, the pastor did, and I was young yet, 8, 9 years old. He said, Barbara, you can't do this. I said, do what? He said, bring all these kids in here. We don't have no more room. He said, don't bring any more kids in here. But, you know, it's just like, you know, Jesus just said, come on, let's go. Let's go into the house of God. How many of you do that? How many of you stop and get gas, say, I'm going to church, you want to go with me? And hand them a card, say, come visit us sometime. Isn't that right? Yeah, you said, yep, so you thank you for agreeing with me. I bet you don't even carry a card to begin with. Come on, come into the house of God. Amen. When I was working, you know, I was working at a college, and I tell everybody, you need to go to church. And there was a Mormon fellow, And I didn't know anything about Mormons. He said, well, why don't you come to my church? I said, okay, I'll do that. He said, you come to mine, I'll come to yours. He never came to my church. And I didn't stay in his church. So anyhow. But, you know, I was always telling people, you need to go to church. I already go to church. You go every Sunday? Well, no, not every Sunday. But they didn't really like me to talk about church, so I finally quit. But at least I stuck it out there, you know. Come on. Do you stick it out there? Give them a chance to think about it? All right, where am I at? There is no, God said, there is no place for mistakes in this dispensation of time. In other words, compromise. I think too many people in the house of God compromise. You have this wonderful relationship with God, but nobody else knows that you. It's a big secret, and only you and God know it. And the church has to stop that. Well, if they know it, they'll say that I'm a religious nut. Well, okay, you are, aren't you? Because God said his people are peculiar, right? All right, there's no place for mistakes in this dispensation of time. Compromise is a word you do not know when fighting the enemy. Everybody get that in your spirit. Well, one little beer ain't going to hurt anything. That's compromise. One little beer will kill you. Well, you know, if you miss one Sunday, what's that going to hurt? It's going to hurt a whole bunch because you're going to miss one Sunday, two Sundays, three Sundays, and next thing you know, you get very comfortable and sitting at home saying, I'll watch it on TV. It is not the same. And I don't care who's in, I don't care how many heads are in my house, you know, in this house of God. It's not heads, it's souls. And you all been, your soul has been fed and fed and fed till it's overfed. And you need to get out there and feed somebody else with what you have. All right, God said, you have been taught the truth, and you must stand in the truth to bring salvation to the naysayers. You know the truth, you have to stand in the truth. When I was out in evangelistic field, I was in Pennsylvania one time, they thought I was the best thing going until I stepped under the pastor's toes and invited me out there. And I didn't even mean to, but I didn't know her lifestyle. And then she went out and told all the churches that I just was up there for 30 days and I was supposed to be going one weekend. And she told them all, don't believe a word she said. I'm sorry, I brought her here and introduced her to you. She's not a God. She has to go. So I went. But she ruined everything that God did. And do you know why it was? Because one of the pastors was lesbian. And God showed me that when I went into the church. But he said, I never want you to mention that because I want to pour my love into her and change her. And her and I became very close in the time I was up there. And she was truly starting to change her heart and change. And that pastor said God would never tell her such loving things, knowing what she's doing. I found out later she did change her lifestyle, but she also quit her church. That pastor made her run her name all over the place and made her quit her church, you know, stop her church. That's a shame. Think about where you were at when you got saved. You weren't always pure. And this is the reason why a lot of people won't come in the house of God is because, all right, so I know people come in here and are really messed up, but God never once mentions that they're messed up. He pours love after love after love into them, and I watch them change. I know what you do. I know what you are. Well, yeah, you know what? God knows what you do, and he knows what you are, too. And you all know, sitting here, you all know that there's things in your life that God has never brought up. And you thank God he didn't. But he kept loving you until he loved you through that mess. All right? Then God goes on to say, you have no inkling of what the enemy, I think that's where I'm at. You have no inkling of what the enemy has been speaking into the lives of those who are lost. Unless you've been totally, totally lost. Like, you don't know what the enemy's telling these people. See, I thank God I was never lost like that. I was never lost. Because he kept me from the time I was born. But there's people out there that just are not like that. And they get lost. And the enemy keeps feeding them this junk. And especially that you'll never amount to anything. God, you've gone too far. God can't save you. That's all lies from the pits of hell. And really, truly, if you're lost and you're hearing those words, you ought to be doing a jig, because that means you can be saved. Or the enemy wouldn't be trying to tell you all the lies he tells you. All right, so you do not have no idea of how far he has gone to destroy souls. The enemy is vicious and cruel, and there is nothing vile that he will not do. He has no standards. The enemy has implanted this very same mindset into those who are lost. The enemy of this world has done everything he can to rob and destroy my plans and purposes. And as some of you in here tonight would be honest, you could say that there was one point in your life where you thought you would never amount to anything. That you were what you were, and that's what you were going to remain. But as God poured his love into you and gave you strong people to be around, and you slowly but surely start saying, hey, you know, there is a way out. There is a light at the end of this tunnel, and I can make it. And saints, this is what these lost souls out there are going through, right? We don't know what kind of junk. And, you know, when parents reject their kids, that's the worst thing that could ever happen. And so once he gets a spirit of rejection in him, then he keeps pushing other stuff there until you believe there's just no way out, that you are going to remain in the dark. Not true. We need to convey this message to the lost and the dying. I just read yesterday or the day before where somebody's holding these big stadium meetings right now, today as we speak, and thousands of souls are being saved every day in these meetings. It's one of the famous evangelists. And I thought, God, why doesn't that happen here? You know, why aren't we having big meetings? And why aren't these souls being saved? I know that nobody wants to come to Delaware. I know it's a closed state. I know people here don't want God at all. I know all that. But, you know, that can change. But it's going to take somebody who will stay steadfast. And no matter what you have to go through, I don't like Delaware. And I want to move out of Delaware because I've been everywhere. And Delaware's, you know, but God said, no, somebody has to stay in this state that I can work through to bring my glory into. So why are some of you in Delaware? Could it be that you're one of those that God needs to stay here and endure all this darkness and all this junk that goes on so that he can bring his glory in here? You know? We're not a lost state. We're just a state that's been confused. And all we need is to stand our ground and allow God to work through us to get this state straightened out. Okay? I mean, you know, I was born and raised in Pennsylvania where you had the trees and the mountains and, you know, the big rocks and all that kind of stuff. Then you come to this flat Delaware where there's nothing. And it's sort of, you know, disheartening. But still in all, you know, it's not all bad. I didn't die here. I've been here quite a while. Didn't die here. So it must be some life here, right? The atmosphere must have life in it. It just takes a couple of us to be determined, you know, devil, you're done in Delaware. And we're standing our ground, and God's going to work through us to get this state where it should be. My grandson and I, Isaiah and I, was doing his math, and we were looking for Delaware, and it's so small, you couldn't hardly find it on the globe. He said, why are we so tiny? I said, I don't know. But, you know, this little tiny state of, you know, the devil thinks it has this all wrapped up. And he knows nobody else thinks too much. People don't think too much of Delaware. But, boy, is God ever going to catch him off guard. God's going to show him what he can do. And he's going to do it through you guys. Do you understand that? Brett and Nancy, I believe, are going to escape to Rhode Island. You know, but that's all right. They'll just miss all the fun, right? I picked up my spirit that they're going to move. And I don't know if they are. I just picked it up. God says, he's saying right now, will you please just stand still and let me work through you? Will you just please allow me to take my spirit and move through you to wherever you go to save the lost? He said, if you could just believe tonight that wherever your feet trod, his glory will be there with you, and that glory is going to save whatever souls are around about you. Come on. We carry that much glory. We just have not been activating it. God told us, what, about 3 years ago that the glory was here in this church? He says, just not here in its fullness. I mean, time slips away. I don't know how long ago. It's been a while. Well, you know, in about a week ago, I sat thinking, God, you told us. He says, yeah, I did tell you. You know, that the glory's already here. But, you know, we just heard those words and we just skipped on along our merry little way. Me too. Not understanding what God said, right now, right this second, the glory's right here in this church. We should have jumped on that bandwagon and rode it as far as we could ride it. And do you know where we'd be today? Not where we're at right now. We would be in a big stadium here if they even have one. Yeah, well, the college over there does. And we'd be saving souls for Christ. You know, the ministers would be up there joining together and preaching you and letting God move through them. And we would be seeing Delaware saved. No, we didn't do that, did we? God said, the only thing the lost know is hate and hopelessness. Their emotions are null and void. Isn't that awful? But, you know, I know some church people, that's the only thing they know, too. It's hopeless, hate. Their emotions are null and void. I looked up null and void. It says unproductive, of no consequence, effect, or value, insignificant, amounting to nothing. That's where the lost are at. But the lost are also sitting in the house of God. Where are you sitting? Are you still on the backside of the desert? God has pulled us forth, and now he wants to use us. Where are you sitting? I want each one of you to think that right now. Don't be reading the scripture. Think of that. Where are you seated? Are you seated up in the third heavens with Christ? Or are you just seated out there somewhere? You don't even know where you're seated yourself. Are you really believing for God to use you mightily? Is your constant thought not, oh God, the devil's fighting me again? Or is your constant thought, God, please move through me to save the lost? Please move through me to bring in this great harvest. Not worried about what's going on with you. I don't sit around 24/7 praying for this pain to go away. My constant prayer in my heart is, God, please, if I'm doing anything wrong to keep you from moving with your glory, let me know. But please bring your glory into the church so strong that it'll vibrate like it did years ago, but greater. I think we're too tied up in our own selves. I really do. And what's going on in our lives. I catch myself getting there, then I say, God, this is yours, this is yours. I'm not picking it back up again. And then I get back into where I should be, and that's praying for the harvest. How many of you are like that? You know, you find yourself getting caught up in your own little whatever thing you're doing. But you don't get out of there, you stay there. See, I want you tonight to get that cemented in your head that you don't stay there. Your prime concern is the harvest. And God said, told me, daughter, if you keep your eyes on the harvest, he told me it's quite a while ago, I'll take care of your situation. Sometimes I look around and say, God, you're not taking care of that situation. In his timing, he does all things. How many of you learned that? You know, I was a world's worst trying to get him to move ahead of his schedule. He said, you can beg, plead, cry, do whatever you want to do. I'm not bringing the glory till I'm ready to bring it. He's not doing it either. He's bringing it the way he wants to bring it. So how many of you are doing that? You want God to move mightily in your life, and you want it now. And he's saying, well, I have found out one thing. The minute you tell God you want it now, you're going to wait a little bit longer. You really are. I have learned to say, God, in your timing, and I'm not going to complain. Amen. See, we're doing some things wrong, and that's what's keeping things held up. And we need to start doing things right. Now, God said, why don't you just do what I've told you to do? Why do you think you have to have the approval of man? If I said it, I want it done. And you and Mary Ann, you were going to start traveling. And when you travel, you're going to take good news wherever you go. And you're not going to be a gloom and doom preacher. You're going to be one of happiness and joy and salvation. But you just need to get ready. And I see your feet walking all over the place. Now, I don't know where God's going to send you, but you need to quit being content at being in the place you're in. Now, I'm not telling you to sell your house. I didn't say that. I'm just saying you're going to be traveling quite a bit. And if God puts it upon your heart to do it, then that's God. And he wants to know, do you serve God or do you serve man? If you serve God, then when something's on your heart, it's coming from God and not from man. And God said, he's going to send you to places he's going to use you to shake the people up. You know, he's going to give you words. He's going to shake the people up. And you have to be content in the places God sent you. And don't say, well, I don't want to go there, because he's going to send you. You've said, use me. And he's going to send you where he needs you. All right. There's a lot of trouble. This is what God wants you to know. There's a lot of trouble coming across the land. And he wants you to be prepared to stand strong. Not get caught up in the trouble, but be caught up in his glory where you can encourage others. There's a lot of pastors you know that don't really walk as close to God as they ought. And what God's going to do with you is have you take the truth to them. And he says that you'll be able to press them to the point they'll just flat listen because they want to get rid of you. But as they listen, they're going to hear the truth, and then that truth is going to set them free. God said, you're like a dog that's chasing a fox. You're not going to quit until you catch the fox. You're persistent. That's not true? That's true? Okay, he shook his head. No. And that's why God's using you. I used to always think you was a queer little duck. I always did. And I never could quite figure you out. But you know what? God makes queer ducks. You know, people that... That's maybe I shouldn't use that word, strange. You were strange. But God's going to use you in the personality that you have. That tickled her. Okay. What does that mean? There you go. See, there you go. Well, God's going to use you because of that. Don't try to change. You be what God made you. And you're going to see the glory drop in such a fashion that the people are going to be slain all over the room. You haven't yet tasted of the deep glory, but you will, and very soon. All right? Well, I got myself in trouble. Let's go to Joel chapter 3. I want to read Joel chapter 3, verse 9. God said, proclaim this among the nations. Prepare for war. Wake up the mighty men. Let all the men of war draw near. Let them come up. Beat your plowshares into swords and your pruning hooks into spears. Let the weak say, I am strong. Assemble and come, all you nations, and gather together all around. Cause your mighty ones to go down there, O Lord. Let the nations be awakened and come up to the valley of Jehoshaphat. For there I will set to judge all the surrounding nations. Put in a sickle, for the harvest is ripe. Come, go down, for the winepress is full. The vats overflow, for their wickedness is great. Multitudes, multitudes in the valley of decision. For the day of the Lord is near in the valley of decision. The sun and moon will grow dark, and the stars will diminish their brightness. The Lord also will roar from Zion and utter his voice from Jerusalem. The heavens and earth will shake, but the Lord will be a shelter for his people and the strength of the children of Israel. So you shall know that I am the Lord your God, dwelling in Zion, my holy mountain. Then Jerusalem shall be holy, and no aliens shall ever pass through her again. I'm going to quit there because the hour is late. No, God has something else. Let's skip over there to where God's speaking again, Nancy. You there? All right, God said, I said, we have been faithful and passed over, ready to bring in the harvest of lost souls. And God so said, relief is on the way for the harvesters. That's you and I, right? The harvesters have determined in their heart of hearts that they will go to the highways and the byways and compel the lost to come in. They have determined in their hearts that nothing is going to stop them. They have declared over and over again, here I am, Lord, send me. God said, these harvesters carry my glory and the anointing to break every yoke, not just one or two, but every yoke of bondage. And then he said, these harvesters are in the army of Joel. And I'm not going to read that either. It's Joel 2, 1 through 11. But then he goes over there and he says, these mighty ones will stand in the temple of holiness, and they will execute judgment upon the inhabitants of the land. Now, these your reinforcements are the angels of God. And didn't God tell us on Sunday or something that the angels of salvation, is that what it was? We're here. And so these angels of salvation are going to go with you, and they will have, of course, they have the anointing in them and around them. And when you're ministering salvation, the angels will cause the salvations to happen. So you have reinforcements. You're not going out there by yourself. And then he said, these mighty ones will stand in the temple of holiness, and they will execute judgment upon the inhabitants of the land. And you can read Daniel 7, 9 through 21 when you go home. Now, when God said about these mighty ones will stand in the temple of holiness, and they will execute judgment upon the inhabitants of the land, there he was talking about angels. And so I'm not quite sure how God is incorporating that into this. But I don't know. I don't think he's telling us that we'll be the mighty ones that will stand in the temple. It's the angels of God who will do that. All right. And then he goes on to say, on the last page, Nancy, in this most important of all court scenes, the judge is represented as having more than a million angels as his assistants, while more than 100 million are court attendants. The books containing the records of the lives of men are open. The court is convened and the judgment is set. See, God is in his courtroom, but all these angels are round about him. Now, if he has that many angels just in his courtroom, how many angels do you think is in heaven and in the atmosphere? God wants us to really, let me finish this. God said, children, I have been judging the peoples for a season, and so many found wanting. I am cleaning the swamps of all that defiles, and I need you to go forth ministering to the ones that are lost. You are strong and of good courage, and that is why I have chosen the remnant to send forth. We've always been a remnant church. God told me that the day we opened doors, we are a remnant church. And so he's saying that he's chosen the remnant to send forth. Then I said, you and I were created to reveal his kingdom to the world. People around us are hurt and disappointed with what life's handed them. People need to know the hope of Jesus. They need to know the hope of Jesus through you. I was talking to somebody in my family last night, and they said, I have been so bad, God doesn't even know who I am anymore. I said, that's about the biggest lie that the enemy's ever told you. And do you know how many people you're going to run into that's going to think the very same thing? Now, God said, people need to know the hope of Jesus. And they need to know that, no, I said that. They need to know the hope of Jesus through you. Are you understanding this? You guys have been through your school. God even told you graduated. Now, there's three of you in here that have gone to the third heaven, and you're ready to go out and do your own ministry, but one of you need to find joy. But anyhow, so the rest of you can get there too. All you have to do is just start yielding yourself more to God than what you already have. And you know, in praise and worship is where God always moves. He always moves during praise and worship, always. Ever since I've been called, that's what he does. So what you need to do is just let yourself loose and just enjoy the music that God... I'm going to tell you, every song service I put together is ordained of God. He tells me exactly what's... Some days I'll spend hours, and it's the last minute. Aaron writes and says, I don't have a song service. Well, guess what, Aaron? God didn't give me one yet. I don't say that, but to him, but, you know, and I said, God, now, come on, and we could need to, and then, boom, just like that, he gives me the whole song service. These songs are just not things, songs I think are cute. These songs are ordained with God because he knows what you need. And he also knew that what he told me was, some of you are sort of down and out, you've been struggling, and he wanted to pep you up tonight. He wanted to give you joy. And that is what the song, if you really sang the songs, that's what the songs were. But I couldn't even sing the songs. There was a hindrance behind me. Somebody behind me was not receiving them. A shame. That's a shame. I'm too spiritual to sing those songs. I'll sing Lion of Judah, and I'll sing Do You See? But I'm not going to sing dance and jump around songs. This is the way people think. I know, because I sit there and listen to God while I'm doing private worship. I just want to sing. Are you listening here? So little Jewish friend, get your feet to move and get your head to dancing, and you know, just take the dance and the joy. The Jews always like to dance. I know, I read about them. So take that to the people. And I don't want to see any of you go, when you have a heavy heart, go minister to somebody and say, put your heavy heart someplace else. And just get your head up in the clouds with Jesus and just tell them what Jesus is all about. Now, some of you came in here tonight hindered, but God wants you to leave unhindered. And if you want to leave here totally set free, God's ready to totally set you free so that you can rejoice in him. You know, if you're a minister, you know you're called to be one, aren't one yet, or evangelist or whatever, God's trying to teach you the right way to reach his people. Now, with the one song sing, you know, what if you don't even feel like singing? You don't feel like dancing, but we do anyhow, don't we? We do anyhow. Sometimes I have to make myself do, but I do anyhow. Come on. How many sometimes you make yourself get dressed and get in the car to do? But you do it. And then when you get there, you say, wow, this is really neat. I feel great. But see, if you give in to the feelings that the enemy puts in you, you'll stay home. And you won't go. Come on. When I was really, really sick, you know, it would take me all, I started at 12 o'clock to get ready for the evening service. It would take me all that time to get dressed, bathed and dressed. That's how sick I was. And it was, you know, but I was ready to get in that car at 6 o'clock. I said, I'm going to church no matter what. How many of you do that? You know, you're going to go to, I don't care how I feel, right? I'm just going to go to church. I don't care if I feel like a dog today. You're like, you know, I just missed the mark today. You just get in your car and you go. And don't you feel better when you do that? Don't lie. If you don't feel better, don't lie. But don't you really? Don't you really? Aren't you glad you made the trip down here tonight? Sure. And brought our little friend with you? Skip. I wanted to call him. I don't want Mike or something, but Skip. Think of peanut butter near Skip. Come on. I want you guys tonight to leave here with the joy of the Lord in you. I want you to leave here tonight with a determination that no matter what the enemy puts you in your path, you're going to follow God. And you're going to be bold about it. Some people think he just went crazy, but be bold about it. Come on. You know, somebody I met, what, 4 or 5 years ago, that, you know, was on drugs, it was all messed up, and they just spent a couple months in prison because of drugs, and they came to my house today, and they said, I'm so glad I met you. I don't know if I was or not, because it caused me a lot of destruction. But, you know, no, I... And he said, I know you prayed for me because I could feel your prayers. I could actually see you. So you never know what you're doing to a person's life. It doesn't matter where they're at. Where are you at? How many people do you think that Jesus met that was not good people? But once they met him, they were the best people. Well, if the altar really is open, if you want to come up and just let God just empty himself out into you tonight so that when you go forth, did you want to? Yeah, let us get your microphone. Thank you.
Last time my wife and I attended this church, we had word that Pastor Barbara was not doing well and Brett was in the hospital. And so we came here to pray over both of them. I didn't even know you were in the hospital. We left our home. We came down here to pray. We sat over here. I listened to this woman preach. I've never heard so much energy and joy in my life. She's okay. Then when we got home, as you know, Brett, my wife and I called you, and we got permission, prayed over Brett. He was in the hospital. They released him. He's here. But here's the big news. I didn't come here for a reason other than to pray over those two, my wife. But Pastor Barbara at the end was back there, and Chris had her ready to pray. And I said, she doesn't need me to pray over you. You remember that day? But what I needed is a word from God. I needed a green light. See, one of the things when you step out in faith, you need to have somebody, and you have somebody. You guys are blessed having her here. Okay, that's the other reason I came. I wasn't here for the birthday. My wife and I came last week, and we heard that she wasn't here. We went, and we're here tonight. I brought Skip with me. Pastor Barbara, you gave me the green light. When nobody else gave me a green light, should I go forward with this? Here it is in my hand. It was delivered today before I came. This is the new manuscript to Newton's Riddle. I sent this last week to the Screenwriters Guild. Now, I need your prayers, because one of the reasons I wrote this book is I found out, because somebody handed me a book called This Present Darkness, which opened my blind eyes to the spiritual realm. The world doesn't have that. You do. You hear from this woman, you've seen God act, but the world needs supernatural vision. Woman gave me a book called This Present Darkness when I was a baby Christian, and I read it and it opened my blind eyes to the reality of what's really going on. And so years later, when I was teaching and I'm watching all these people at Annapolis High School reading a book called The Da Vinci Code, and I knew it was a lie, I tried to get to Mel Gibson. This is a true story. To get him to take the money from the Passion of the Christ and turn This Present Darkness into a movie so that the world would have the spiritual eyes that I now had, that you all have. Anyhow, found out what happened. Frank Peretti sent this to the Screenwriters Guild, his book. They wanted to take God out of it and just leave the angels and so on. He said, no. I need your prayers. This is going to the Screenwriters Guild, that someone in there will be a Christian that will take the manuscript that was sent to them and not touch it, but use the words of God and get this movie made, because the movie's supposed to come out next year, Newton's Riddle, to the world. But it's a spiritual battle. The devil doesn't want this truth going out. And everything that Pastor Barber said tonight and everything that you hear is the truth, but it's not being told. So again, just lift this up in prayer. When it gets to the Screenwriters Guild, the devil will not touch it, and this will become a movie. Thank you.
What I'm hearing is God saying, this will not fall into the mud. It will accomplish what God's purposed it to accomplish. So we'll just stand on that. Also, I'm hearing that the people need to hear the truth, and this is the truth, and this will set the people free. And the enemy has to take his hands off of God's truth. And you have nothing to fear. Okay, does anybody want to come to the altar and get a special touch from the Father? And you also need to know, too, Neil, that you are peculiarly blessed. You're blessed in a way that a lot of people are not blessed. And God, these manuscripts, you'll write more than one. And what God is telling me, he's even going to take you up into the heavenly courts, and he's going to dictate a manuscript that you'll bring back to earth for the people.